What's on the Menu, in association with the award-winning Jack's Coast Guard Restaurant Cremorne, where the finest food in Kerry is always on the menu.
Now, you're welcome to our brand new cookery slot on Talk About, and I'm delighted to be joined in studio by Jonathan Keary, who is the head chef at Jack's in Cremorne. Jonathan, welcome.
Deirdre, it's a pleasure to be here.
It's lovely to meet you. Tell us about yourself and where you're from.
So I'm from Glenbay in Kerry, just out the road from Cremorne originally, and I'm living in Cremorne currently at the moment, and I'm one of the Keary family that has the Glenbay Hotel, and my brother owns Jack's.
Ah, fantastic. So did you always want to be a chef growing up?
Not really. It's kind of something that I've... Well, we grew up doing it, and then I fell out of love with it for quite a few years. I was trying to do other things and went to college and found myself falling back to it the whole time, especially when I went travelling. So when I came back from travelling, I decided just to go into the chefing full time.
Fantastic. And you love it?
Love it since.
Yeah. And Jack's in Cremorne is flying, isn't it?
It's absolutely flying. At the moment, currently, it's weekends only, but then in the height of the season, it's... very, very busy, and we have quite a lot of functions and parties and occasions and weddings and everything.
Yeah, I believe, because I know a few people who were there for weddings, and I believe it's a fabulous venue for a wedding.
Yes, on your show earlier you were on about people going into smaller, more intimate weddings.
Yeah.
And Jack's caters perfectly for that. We have a nice small venue, coastal location, overlooking the sea, The bride and groom generally have the running of the entire restaurant to themselves for the day. So
yeah, sounds lovely, really intimate. So listen, we're so delighted to have our chef slot back on the programme. And now I know, and the listeners appreciate that we're a little bit limited because obviously we don't have a big fancy oven in here or anything like that. But you can talk us through some recipes. So today you've decided to kick off by showing us some bread recipes.
Exactly, yeah. Something that a lot of your listeners are probably used to doing at home. Typically the brown soda breads or the white soda breads. So what I'm going to do today is a white yeast bread, which is just an alternate version of the Irish soda breads. And it's a great way for using up ingredients that you have around in your dry stores or in your fridge that you want to use up and not sure how to use up. So the jar of pesto that's been sitting in your fridge for a week or two and there's only a third of it left, or sun-dried tomatoes or chorizo or whatever nuts and seeds you might have, it's a great way of using them up and limiting wastage in around the house.
Okay, so you can throw them all in.
Exactly.
Really?
Whatever is up to your own flavour, whatever way you want to balance the more you do, the more breads you make, the more you'll get to experiment with flavours. You basically have free rein of doing whatever you want to do once you have your basic recipe to work off.
Exactly. And of course, we're hearing so much now about food waste, so it's great to hear you say that about...
Exactly, yeah. Mm. That's what I was thinking when I was coming onto the show, a way up for people to use up items that they're not familiar with or cut down on the waste going forward, so they're not throwing out as much or using up their leftovers, because cooking their basic meals they're doing on a daily basis, but it's the leftovers and using up what they consider wastage.
Exactly.
It's what I'm aiming to do, hopefully.
So just to let listeners know, and we will have your recipe sheets there's three loaves on it. There's the brown soda, the white soda and the yeast bread. You're just going to make the yeast bread today, but the other recipes are on the sheet.
Exactly, yeah. And they're all very, very simple to do at home yourself, and they actually don't take that long. The time in making the breads is... in the yeast bread anyway, is the proving time. And then in the breads, it's just basically the cooking time. So it's breads are very quick and easy to do. It's just a matter of balancing time.
Yeah. Right, so we're going to start with the yeast bread. And will you get the ball rolling and talk us through it, Jonathan?
I will, of course. I just need to gather some of the ingredients here. I have most of it weighed out.
No problem at all.
So we'll be just working with...
And just to remind listeners as well, by the way, that after the show we will have copies of this month's fact sheet from Jonathan to give out. So all you have to do is email us to talkabout@radiokerry.ie and we will send a copy of the recipe sheet onto you. So what ingredients have you got there, Jonathan?
Okay, so what I have here is a white strong flour. Ideally, it's strong flour for yeast breads because of the protein, the higher gluten content, which allows it to stretch and expand a lot more than the usual plain flour.
Okay, so so what's strong flour? Is that
strong flour.
Is that what it's actually called, is it?
Yeah, exactly, or a bread flour. So it has a higher gluten content than your standard plain flour.
And you can get that in the supermarket? And
all supermarkets will have that now these days.
And it's called strong flour or...
Bread flour or baker's flour.
Okay, so you've how much of that?
There's 1 kilo of that.
Okay, and what have you got there now that you're...
And in the bowl with the strong flour, I've pre-mixed the sugar and the salt already. And at home, I'm using a fresh yeast here because I have the luxury of being able to get it.
Okay.
But for most people, I think it'll be the dry yeast that's available in all supermarkets that they'll be using, and it's usually a 7 gram sachet, so they'll be using 2 of those for this quantity of bread. Excuse me. So I have my flour, salt and sugar mixed. I'll just add in the yeast. I'm just going to stand up for doing this part.
Okay, no problem at all.
And then I'm just going to... I have my water here as well, which basically your white yeast bread is yeast, water and the flour, and all the other ingredients are just up to your own flavour. So if you just wanted a basic white loaf, you just need those 3 ingredients.
But as you said, you can put in, you can use your imagination a bit.
Exactly. So I'm just adding some of the water now.
600 mils of tepid water.
Yeah, so the yeast works best at a temperature around 26 degrees because it's a form of like a bacteria.
Okay.
So it expands better at that temperature. So that's why it's a tepid water. So if your flour or something is being stored in a very cold area, then your water temperature increases slightly to about, I'm saying 30 body temperature.
Okay.
Or in that ballpark. And then
so you keep adding the water.
Gradually. So the water, when you add it initially, is just to bring the yeast together, and then you make the well in the dry ingredients and start pulling slowly from the outside into the middle and just working that in a bowl with your hand, almost kneading it until you're finding the right consistency.
Okay, now this isn't a bread that a celiac or somebody could...
Unfortunately, yeah, this has a higher gluten content, so...
Oh, you said that, that's right,
yeah,
okay.
So, no, not. But you can get celiac bread flour.
Okay.
So if you go to your local supermarket in their section, they will have pre-mixed bread mix.
Okay.
Flour that you can...
And make. Can I ask as well? Because I only do a small bit of baking, but you again, just coming back to the strong flour. I mean, are there loads of different types of flour?
There is a few different types of flour. You have your plain flour, which is your all-purpose flour. It's used for practically everything and can be used for this. It just doesn't allow for as much of a raise.
Okay.
Then you have your wholemeal flour, which is using the whole grain and has the husk and everything in it that you use for your brown bread. You have your self-raising flour, which is just basically plain flour with pre-added baking powder as your raising agent.
Mm-hmm.
And you have 00 flour, which is used a lot for making pastas and pizza dough.
Okay, so there's and strong flour, as you explained to us.
And strong flour then is the...
And what else might you use strong flour for, Jonathan?
It's generally used in breads and stuff that needs the elasticity that the stronger flour provides for raising. So
okay, gotcha.
It's generally just breads or bakes along those lines that it's used for. Mm-hmm. It's not suitable for cakes because it doesn't give the soft texture, it gives a spongy texture
to
cakes, so it's not ideal for that.
So you're kneading away there. So
the ingredients. The
is this a bread you'd make much in Jackson, Cremon?
Daily.
Yeah.
And usually we might change up the ingredients. We use sun-dried tomatoes, or we might have a pesto or an onion marmalade.
Oh, it sounds delicious.
Depends on the day or what like I'm hoping people will do at home, using up ingredients that we might have just around the kitchen just to use them up rather than buying in specific ingredients for them.
Exactly. So you mentioned sun-dried tomatoes, kind of an onion marmalade. What else?
Pestos, you can use nuts and seeds, dried fruits, basically anything that you have lying around the place that if you wanted, you could even make it with garlic and have a garlic flavour. So if you're making a garlic bread out of it, that you just have to add the butter and stuff for toasting it into the garlic bread.
And is this a bread that you would have with soup or as part of a sandwich or what?
All of the above.
All of the above, yeah.
You can make it into a loaf, you can, and which is a stage we'll be doing later in shaping.
Yeah.
You can make it into a loaf, or you can make like a longer roll, or even a small petit pan like a soup bread roll. The diversity of making your own yeast breads allows you to pick and choose whatever shape you want out of it, because the yeast bread is essentially the same recipe for all the breads, and it's just a matter of which way you want to shape it thereafter.
Okay.
Much like pasta.
And what's your own preference taste-wise for the yeast bread?
I am quite partial to the sun-dried tomato.
Which is the one you're making.
Which is the one I'm making. And also, sometimes we do a cheese one, which is very nice with either goat's cheese or a nice camembert or something through it. And and you can even add it in with the sun-dried tomatoes, and it gives a tomato and cheese flavour to it.
Oh, that sounds absolutely delicious. So you're kneading away there now, and how long more does that take? Is it
kneading is it by hand anyway? It's a bit of the tedious job with doing this. So it takes about 10 minutes, and I'm trying to do it in a bowl in the studio now, so it's a bit harder again. Usually you're working it slightly differently to the way you would a soda loaf. So you're pushing it away from yourself.
Okay.
And then pulling back and pushing away and pulling back. And as you work the dough, you'll find it tightening up.
Okay. And is that starting to happen?
It's slowly starting to happen.
We're getting there, folks. We're getting there.
But at home, you probably have the luxury of doing it with a mixer.
Of course.
Dough hook. And that's basically add in your dry ingredients, add in your water and yeast and your flavouring, and you just let it mix away for about 5 minutes.
Perfect.
And it'll all come together.
We'll take a quick break. Jonathan, I'll let you catch up with the kneading there while we take a short ad break. And if anyone, by the way, has any questions for Jonathan from Jack's Coast Guard Restaurant, he's talking specifically today about making bread. He's making yeast bread at the moment. But this month's recipe sheet, which is available to listeners, also has a recipe for brown soda bread and a white soda loaf. So I can't wait to try them at home. Not great at the cooking, but I do love baking. So if you've got any questions for Jonathan, send them in to us on 083 300 3300. Try to keep to questions about baking bread today if you can. And we will be back with him and seeing how he's progressing. By the way, this is being videoed as well, so you'll be able to see the video a little bit later on. Back in a moment.
What's on the menu? In association with the award-winning Jack's Coast Guard Restaurant, Cremon, where the finest food in Kerry is always on the menu.
Welcome back, and if you've just tuned in, you're just in time because Jonathan Keary, chef at Jackson Cremon, is with us for our new cookery slot. It's all about bread this month, folks, and at the moment he is making yeast bread for us. Jonathan, you got a good bit of kneading there done in the ad break.
Yeah, so trying to take advantage of the couple of minutes while I could make as much noise as possible and pushing it around.
No, you can make plenty of noise, we all understand that. So what are you doing now? What's this stage?
So once it's kneaded, it'll start to tighten, as I said, and we'll start having a nice satin sheen on it. And when it reaches that stage, it'll take about 8 or 10 minutes of kneading.
Constant kneading, yeah.
By hand, but if you're using a mixer, obviously that'll be sped up for you. And then you just set it aside into a bowl.
Okay.
And if you cover it with cling film and leave it somewhere warm for about an hour, maybe an hour and a half, depending on the temperature.
But when you say somewhere warm, like a centrally heated kitchen or something?
Close to the oven or on the table in front of the fire, about 4 or 5 feet away from the fire.
Oh.
Or, if you can, close to a radiator or something like that.
Okay.
It'll double in size. If you're organised, it actually works very well in the fridge overnight.
Okay.
So you can prep it the night before, and then when you're working it, it'll prove slower and develops the flavour a lot slower.
Yeah.
So it's a more intense flavour that you'll develop if you allow it in the fridge overnight. So that's the ideal way.
Okay.
But if you're caught for time or you just want to get it done and out of the way, then proving it in somewhere warm will do it in about an hour for you with the right yeast.
And again, now excuse the ignorant question, but proving, what exactly does that mean?
That's allowing the yeast to do its job. So the yeast creates the air pockets.
Okay.
Through, I don't know if it's anaerobic or aerobic reaction.
But, one of those.
It's the natural form of increasing in size or raising. So it'll double in size in about an hour. And that'll create the air pockets that you're looking for in your bread. So it'll...
Okay, so it's not a case of like you would be with normal bread baking where you'd shove it straight into the oven.
Exactly. That, yeah. The normal bread, the soda breads that we're used to, is the raising agent, is the chemical reaction between the soda and the buttermilk.
Okay.
Which gives you a rise, whereas with the yeast bread, it's the yeast needs time to develop and expand to give you your rise.
Okay, so we'll pretend that the hour has passed and that it's been in the warm room. So I presume what is the next phase, or does it go straight into the oven?
No, the next phase. There's a couple of different phases, and that's probably why Irish people don't really go in for making the bread, because it's a bit more time consuming. Where you're knocking it back. So after it's doubled in size, you leave it in the bowl covered for an hour, and then you just literally push the dough down and then pull it all back together, and this is where you can work the dough into whatever shape that you want.
Okay.
So I had some pre-proved before coming into studio, so I have a couple of different types, so it was more for the live show or the videoing that I was doing this for.
Okay.
So you can just cut off a small piece.
Right.
And you can work the dough into a ball. And this will give you your basic bread roll. And just have your general shape. And you'll be proving this again.
Like a ball shape.
So this will expand and give you a large, with the size of this will give you a large bread roll.
Okay.
If you want, you can use a loaf tin, which is basically the same thing. You're knocking back the dough and just rolling it out and into the shape of the log that you, or the tin that you're going to be putting it in.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm making a bit of noise now.
No, make all the noise you want. It's all part of it.
So you'll have your pre-greased loaf tin. All this is on the recipe anyway, and it's easy enough to follow. And you're making your log about the length of your tin, and you're looking for it to be about half full, because your bread is going to expand on the second expansion by about 50, double in size again. So, and then if you're more experienced, we have flavoured ones then as well, which I prepped, and you can mix if you're wanting it really fancy. When you're experienced with doing them or used to want to try something new, you can mix your flavours by...
Oh, this is green, so straight away I'm thinking, what on earth is that?
So the green one has a bit of pesto and mixed herb in it.
Okay.
And then the other one has the onion marmalade that I was describing earlier.
Lovely.
So you knock them back in the same way as the others, and you roll them into a log, a bit thinner than usual. about, and you're rolling them both the same size, and this way you can make a plaited loaf for yourself if you want to be
fancy,
or you're trying to do impress friends, or you're having a dinner party, or trying to show off. Basically.
Trying to show off your chefy skills. I see. Yeah. So you are plaiting it. I see. Yeah. Oh my goodness!
And you can bake this in the oven as is, or you can cut it and transfer it into the bread tin for yourself.
Okay. And then how long do those take in the oven?
They are at 190 for about 30 to 40 minutes, depending on your oven. Now, everybody's oven is different. I was cooking in a friend's oven last week, and I was cooking two different things, one of which I burnt because I'm not used to their oven. So, yeah, everybody's oven is different, and the best way of telling is the old way of tapping it, and it'll make a hollow sound.
A hollow sound in
the
oven.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Gotcha. So you were saying that you could make the original one, not the fancy one, but the original one, you were saying you could make it into bread rolls or just one loaf.
Yeah, exactly. Either. Like you can make like a French baguette.
Perfect. We've got some questions for you.
Shaping.
Yeah. From the listeners. They're obviously very keen on bread. A listener wants to know, what is the difference between granary flour and wholemeal flour?
Granary flour, from the best of my knowledge, is... has a stronger husk value rating in it. So it's the whole wheat that they use in it, whereas the wholemeal flour has a certain percentage of the husk removed. So it's about 75% of the husk removed, I think, off the top of my head.
A listener wants to know, will you make porridge bread? Well, we haven't time to make that today, but any tips on making porridge bread?
The porridge bread, the best I can offer off here is the soda breads that I have recipes for there, you can substitute some of the flour in those for using your oatlets in, if you just want a certain percentage of oatlet through it. But a whole, I actually have never made a porridge bread from myself, so I'm not entirely sure if it's 100% of porridge that they use, or it's just has porridge through it.
Yeah, okay. It's very healthy, isn't it, porridge bread?
But it is, if you have porridge, the brown bread recipe is very suitable for substituting in part of the wholemeal or plain flour in with the oatlets for.
Very good. Listener wants to know, will you ask Jonathan the difference between plain flour and cream flour?
Cream flour is just a smoother version of plain flour.
Okay.
So it's just more of a grind on it. So it's almost like it comes through pre-sieved.
Okay.
It has that kind of smoother, creamier texture because it's been milled finer.
Finer. So if you were at home and you wanted to do a bit of baking in a hurry and you'd know plain flour, but you had cream flour, it'd
be fine.
Correct
substitution is perfect.
Perfect. Yeah. Okay.
So they're essentially one and the same.
Great stuff. A listener says, when I make soda bread with sultanas in it, the crust always breaks. What am I doing wrong?
That is probably just a lack of moisture because you're adding in an extra ingredient and not compensating for the sultanas absorbing some of the moisture that you're adding. So maybe just trying increasing your butter content slightly and your milk content slightly, just to make it a slightly wetter dough.
Okay. We've also had someone on who says, this is more of a comment rather than a story. She says she has made focaccia bread courtesy of her transition year daughter, who has plenty of time for experimenting, and she's put in purple onions, scallions and peppers for decoration and flavour. That sounds gorgeous, doesn't it?
It does indeed, yeah. Focaccia is a lovely loaf as well, yeah.
Is it hard to make?
It's essentially the white one, just the way you shape it at the end.
Okay. Listener wants to know, is it possible to bake bread in an air fryer?
Wow.
It's all about air fryers
now,
at the moment.
I've heard of bread makers and stuff, and the air fryer one is one for me, all right, but... everything's worth trying.
It's worth the shot,
And breads are relatively cheap because it's essentially just the cost of the flour that you're working with. So everything's worth a try once anyway.
Yeah, so. Okay, very good. And this is more of a medical one, but a listener wants to know, where can they get a good recipe for brown bread for someone who's been diagnosed with diverticulitis? That's I know that's a bowel condition, I know, so it's probably, that's a tricky one now to put to you.
Wow. Now that one I don't know. I know the brown bread that I use has quite a high wholemeal content in it. I'd have to know more about dietary restrictions to
for diverticulitis. Really. Another listener was in touch, and this is funny. They want to know: is Jackson Cremon open for Sunday lunch at the moment?
It is indeed, and with Mother's Day coming up, I think we're very limited in the amount of slots we have. We're very busy that day. It's generally the busiest day we have in the year.
I can well imagine.
But for every other Sunday, yeah, we're open 1 till 3 for Sunday lunch, and then from 5 to 9 for a la carte.
Lovely. From now on.
From now on.
Great stuff. Well, listen, we're going to let you go. The time goes very quickly, Jonathan, but thank you for showing us how to make the bread. And in case anybody is wondering, we will have a video showing Jonathan, showing us how to do it, which will be up on our Talk About Facebook page, hopefully within the next 24 hours or thereabouts, depending on how quickly the lads can get it done. And as I said, the fact sheet, the recipe sheet for this month contains recipes for brown soda bread, white soda loaf, and a yeast bread, all prepared for us exclusively from Jackson Cremon by Jonathan. Jonathan, thank you so much. I know it was daunting, your first radio experience.
Exactly. I'll be better prepared next time.
I think you played a blinder.
Caught on the hop, yeah.
Not at all. I think you did. You played a blinder, and you didn't make too much of a mess in the studio either.
Mark left big shoes for me to fill anyway, so slowly but surely, hopefully they'll expand into it. So.
No problem at all. It was great. Thank you so much. I can't wait to try them myself, particularly the brown soda bread. Huge thank you there to our new chef, Jonathan Keary from Jackson Cremon, who will be back with us next month. Now, we've got some great guests for you to meet up next. You'll be hearing about a fabulous story about a South Kerry man who is star of a documentary featuring this weekend at the London Irish Film Festival.